And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Welcome, everyone, to the WGN Radio Theater. It is 9 minutes after 11 p.m. here on a Saturday, July 23rd, 2016. This is program 97 in the series. I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious and effervescent Lisa Wolf. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Carl. Great. How are you?
Good. And Mike Estella's in the studio, our executive producer. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
And Shane Reardon is here, our producer in the booth. Hi, Shane. How are you, buddy?
Great. How you guys doing?
I'm doing really, really well.
Good.
And you know what? We're sad, though, because this is Shane's last show as our producer because he's moving on to greater things, and we want to wish
not
him the
greater,
best.
Not greater, just other.
Just other things.
Well, I mean,
I would never say one is greater than
you know,
the other.
I mean, it's he's moving on to his career. He's upping his career. We love
right.
it.
He's just,
love it.
It's a, yeah.
Other
well,
opportunities.
Yeah, but we are really sorry to see you go, and we know
yep,
a lot of
are.
Our listeners are sorry, too.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you
We're
very
gonna
much
We're going to post
the...
a lot of photos of you tonight.
Good.
Tons.
You know what? If there's one thing that we've talked about for the last 6 or 7 months of me producing your show, it's how much I like pictures being taken of me.
So we're going to jump on that
thank
for you.
You
tonight.
I appreciate it. And thank you for everything. This is the best Saturday night show from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. in
Ever.
The city.
I'm with you on that.
We agree wholeheartedly. And tonight we're going to tune into a salute to Bette Davis, one of the greatest actresses that ever lived. We'll hear her in Jezebel on Academy Award Theater. Then she stars in Suspense and also in a Screen Guild Theater presentation. All of this brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor will star in the comedy Going in Style, a reinvention of the 1979 George Burns caper comedy.
Oh, really?
And the winner will win a MyPillow. Love the MyPillow.
That's a great, great prize.
I have a MyPillow, so I'm feeling really good about that.
Are they winning your pillow, Lisa?
They're going to win the pillow that
pillow?
I sleep on at night. Now, that's a prize.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I would want that. But anyway, no, you'll get a brand new MyPillow, folks. So the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor was Clint's co-star in Unforgiven.
Plus, you know, Will, Claudia was alive, you wouldn't be doing this.
If you know who that is, call us 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
The Republicans have their man.
And it is my honor to be able to throw Donald Trump over the top in the delegate count tonight with 89 delegates.
Next up, the Democrats pick their woman.
There is no challenge we can't meet, no goal we can't achieve when we each do our part and come together as one nation.
All week, WGN Radio is live in Philly. Never miss a story from the Democratic National Convention on the road to the White House with 720 WGN.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar!
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything!
Infectious diseases spread by pests like malaria, Zika, and Chagas disease are causing a worldwide health crisis. Fortunately, here at home, we don't face the same level of threat, but we shouldn't let our guard down. Mosquito-borne diseases like West Nile virus and Zika are impacting communities across the U.S., and Lyme disease spread by ticks is on the rise. Whether around the world or just around the block, get the facts you need to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Imagine your world is silent, or you feel left out in conversations because you can't hear. Hearing loss is a leading public health issue affecting 48 million Americans. But there's a lot you can do to help. Step up and help provide programs benefiting people with hearing loss. And have some fun while you're at it. A day of family and friends at the Hearing Loss Association of America's 10th annual Chicago Walk for Hearing, Sunday, September 25th at Lincoln Park. Visit walkforhearing.org for more information.
It's 2016, and it's an important year in our presidential history, eh? Join me, John Williams, Saturday, August 13th, for the return of Teddy Roosevelt, presented by Conasec and Dillon. Wit and wisdom from TR himself, happening at the MAC on the College of DuPage. Get tickets at WGNradio.com/events. Sponsored by Visit Springfield.
Do you have a green home on your block? Join the U.S. Green Building Council Illinois chapter to find out on the 4th annual Green Build Home Tour on Saturday, July 23rd and Sunday, July 24th. Visit 13 unique homes across Chicagoland and see the latest clean energy technology in action. Meet with experienced professionals in the residential green building field and learn what you can do in your own home to protect the planet and save money at the same time. To learn more, visit greenbuilthometour.org. Bring your family to one of the best county fairs just 40 miles north of Chicago. The Lake County Fair from July 27th through the 31st. The fairgrounds are west of Route 45 and Grays Lake. For event information, visit lcfair.com.
Governors Johnson and Weld, your candidates for president and vice president for the Libertarian Party.
Welcome. I'm pretty confident that most Americans really are in this Libertarian six-lane highway down the middle of what is now Trump and Clinton.
All of us are Libertarian on some level. We just haven't all figured it out.
Dems are not terribly fiscally responsible, and the R's are not terribly socially tolerant and inclusive. And, you know, the polling shows better than half the country is in our camp on that.
The election conversation.
I'm announcing, I'm endorsing both of you. I am endorsing Johnson Wells.
It starts every morning on the Steve Cochran Show.
Thank you.
On 720 WGN.
Real, raw, next level talk radio. Jones and Mike.
We've known each other since we were 14 years old. These dreams that you get drive me nuts.
I had a dream, man. It was weird. And I was just thinking to myself, like, what if I show up to the studio and all of a sudden, right when we go on the air, you just open up the mic and then you just start cursing me out because you were mad from something I did 17 years ago.
It seems like dudes our age in their 40s and 50s, they don't like to admit that they don't know things.
Yeah, it's just easier to be that way.
We're two dudes in a backyard. At a barbecue, a little bit of basis and information, but not sitting here like reading from the New York Times to you. I'm fairly sure that my information is part of the hacker data dump of Ashley Madison.
There goes your political career.
Jones and Mike. I had to know what was behind the curtain of a company that used the tagline, life is short, have an affair. 24/7 on Chicago's free WGN Plus app for Apple and Android and at WGNplus.com.
Live, local, informative, entertaining, and a lot of fun. We still believe.
Chicago's very own.
720 WGN Chicago.
Somebody called me a helicopter parent.
I think it's because you have a rotor on your head.
I am going to kick you as hard as I can in the shin. You know
Don't
how
do
much that.
That
hurts?
Don't do that. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
I'm not even going. I'm not hitting the button. I'll show you. Go ahead, laugh, clown. I'm not hitting the button.
Bill and Wendy push buttons. Weekday middays, 10 a.m. to 3 on WGNradio.com.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good, others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Hey, Cub fans, head to Jewel Osco this Sunday and pick up a copy of the Chicago Tribune to collect your 2016 Chicago Cubs Fathead sticker. This week's sticker has an exclusive offer from Fisher Nuts.
Welcome back to show.
You're kind of nuts, Lisa. You know?
When you said nuts, I knew that was coming. This is show 97 of the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip again.
Of course, you know, Will, Claudia was alive, you wouldn't be doing this.
And we have Martin on the line from Lombard. Hey, Martin.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm guessing you know that celebrity's voice.
Yes, Morgan Freeman.
You are right, Martin. You are a winner. You have won a MyPillow, my favorite pillow, and guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. And you can visit MyPillow.com. Martin, thank you so much for calling in, and congratulations on that fantastic prize.
Thank you very much.
And you'll get a new one. It won't be the one that I sleep on, in case you were concerned about that.
Thanks, Martin. All right, it's time for our first Bette Davis Radio Show Academy Award Theater. This was another one of these radio shows, Lisa, that adapted films to radio, and the film stars usually appeared on the radio dramatization, and I think this is what we have now, because Jezebel starred Bette Davis in the movies. Now, this show had a $5,000 per week budget, very, very high for a half-hour radio show back then, and the House of Squibb, which was the sponsor of this show, decided it was just too expensive, pulled the plug after only 39 weeks, but these dramas had some of the biggest stars, including Henry Fonda and Cary Grant, Ronald Coleman, Humphrey Bogart, and as you'll hear now, Bette Davis in Jezebel. Let's go back to March 30th, 1946. Here's part one of Academy Award Theater.
The House of Squibb presents the finest in motion picture entertainment, Academy Award. The House of Squibb, manufacturing chemist of the medical profession since 1858, brings you Academy Award. The pictures, the players, the techniques and skills which have won or have been nominated for the coveted awards granted each year by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences to each in his field for outstanding achievement. Each week, Squibb on the Air brings you only the finest in motion picture art. Squibb in your home brings you only the finest medicinal products, pure, effective, reliable. Squibb, a name you can trust. Tonight's picture is Jezebel. Tonight's star is the distinguished Warner Brothers player, who has been nominated 7 times for awards, has won the prized Oscar twice. Past president of the Academy, Miss Bette Davis. With Miss Davis tonight appears another Academy Award winner, Miss Ann Revere, who won this year's Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress in National Velvet. And now, Miss Bette Davis.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Miss Revere and I feel very honored to be on this first presentation of Academy Award, those awards that mean so very much to all of us in the motion picture industry. Jezebel was written for radio by Frank Wilson, with an original musical score composed and conducted by Leith Stevens, and our producer-director is Dee Engelbach.
Academy Award, starring Bette Davis in her 1938 award-winning role of Julie Marsden, with Ann Revere as Aunt Belle in Jezebel.
Seemed like the end of our world. As General Bogardus and I stood in the street of New Orleans that dawn of 1851, listening to the depressing sound of the cannon as it was fired to dispel the fever which hung like a plague over the city. It seemed like the end of Julie's world, too, as we watched her slowly walk beside poor Preston Dillard, as they carried him to the island of the dead.
Come, my dear. You can't stay in this street. Dawn is breaking. The morning chill is penetrating. And in these dangerous days, Miss Bell, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking of a woman called Jezebel, who did evil in the sight of God. And yet I wonder. Child, you're out of your mind. You know you can't wear a red dress at an Olympus ball.
Can't I? This is 1850, Dumplin'. 1850, not the Dark Ages. Girls don't have to simp around in white just because they're not married.
You'd insult every woman on the floor. You can't be serious.
Never more serious in my life.
But think of Preston.
That's just what I am thinking of. Mr. Preston Dillon thinks that he can let his own affairs come before me, his future wife.
That started it, Miss Bell. That damnable red dress.
But that wasn't Julie's fault.
Oh, if Preston Dillard had only taken my advice the night he came to call.
I remember. You said...
Your generation doesn't understand women, though.
Maybe not, General Bogardus.
Nowadays, no proper respect for our southern womanhood. Think your father would have allowed the lady of his choice to have come surging to his place of business this morning?
Miss Julie didn't know I was presiding at a meeting, sir.
Of course not, Preston. But even if the lady upstairs is my ward, I feel you should know what your father would have done.
What would father have done, sir?
Your father, sir, would have cut him a hickory, sir. He would have flailed the living daylights out of her and then helped her put lard on the welts and brought her a diamond brooch. That's what he would have done, sir. And she'd have loved it.
Where is Miss Julie?
Why, she asked me to please excuse her, Press.
Is she ill?
Why, no, Press.
She's as sound as a nut.
You will pardon me a moment, please.
Take all the time you need, my boy.
I do believe Mr. Dillard is going up the stairs after Julie. He's taking his walking cane out.
Julie! It's Press. Open the door. I want to talk to you. Julie, why don't you answer? Look here, Julie. You and I have got to straighten things out. Oh, there's no sense to all this. I'm here because I love you. And because you love me. But there are some things we've got to set straight. Darling, if you just open the door, I'm sure I could. Julie! Open up at once!
Who is it?
Open this door!
Why, Press, banging at a lady's bedroom door, I'm scandalized at you. Well, did you come here just to stand there? I see you've brought a stick. I'm waiting. When does the chastisement begin?
I came up here to... Oh, Julie, how long must we go on like this?
Like what, Press?
Fussing like a couple of children.
Why do you treat me like a child, then?
Oh, Julie, I love you. Spoiled child or not.
Press, in a lady's bedroom. Now you'll have to marry me.
Oh, look at me, darling. When I come in, I was going to beat you.
Really? Now would you like to see my new dress?
That's what I wanted to do all day.
Well, let me go then. There it is.
Well, the Olympus ball?
Yes, isn't it lovely?
But you can't wear red to the Olympus ball.
Why not?
Well, you never saw an unmarried girl in anything but white. You know that. It's the custom. It has certain significance.
Are you afraid I'll be taken for one of those girls from Gallatin Street?
Julie.
Oh, of course, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to know about things like Gallatin Street. I'm just supposed to simp around in white.
So that's it. You're nursing your spite. Well, I'm not going to let you. For once, you're going to do as I say. Julie, I'm calling for you tomorrow night at 10, and you're going to be properly dressed for the ball in white. Good night.
Oh, Preston, you forgot your stick.
She must have been getting scared over wearing that dress after what Press said to her.
Yes, but her pride...
Confound her fiendish pride. You know that she tried to get Buck Cantrell to take her to the ball without telling Press?
Yes, I knew later. Poor drinking, dueling, easygoing Buck Cantrell. He loved her, too.
Thank heaven he refused her. He was a gentleman and an honorable man.
I told you she'd be ready on time. Julie, we're ready to go.
Julie, you promised me not to.
So you wore it after all.
Isn't it obvious? Shall we go, Fred?
Not until you're properly dressed.
Oh, why must everyone be so pompous? Why don't you admit, Mr. Diller, that you're afraid? Afraid someone will insult me and you'll find it necessary to defend me.
Julie.
You're wrapped, Miss Marsden. May I? You ready, Aunt Belle?
But, Press, she can't.
She can. She will.
We are ready, sir. Miss Belle, my arm.
And yours, Mr. Diller? Thank you.
My dear Miss Bell, have you noticed Preston's face? Looks more like his father than ever tonight. And I never saw Tom Dillard look like that without somebody got killed.
Theophilus, I'm just plain scared for us.
May I take your wrap, my dear?
Well, the ballroom seems a little cool.
I think we'll find it much warmer inside. Come. Gentlemen, you all have the pleasure of Miss Marsden's acquaintance, I think.
Gentlemen.
Good evening, Miss Marsden. Yonder comes my partner. You'll excuse me.
Of course, sir. You haven't a partner you have to meet, Cantrell?
Why, no. Came alone.
A pleasant evening, isn't it?
Mighty pleasant. Nice and cool.
You find it cool in here? I don't find it particularly cool. You, Julie?
Why, no.
I don't find it particularly cool. Miss Julie doesn't find it so, perhaps. It's something in the atmosphere that's peculiar to you.
Why, no, I reckon not. Now you speak of it, it's just about right.
It seems so to me.
Chris, please take me out of here.
Well, my dear, we haven't danced yet, shall we?
No.
Oh, yes, we will.
You've got to take me off this floor.
I can't. It's my own brother dancing with her.
Everyone is leaving the floor. No respectable girl will dance while she's dancing. That dress is an insult. Take me off this instant. Yes, I beg you, take me away from here. I can't endure it.
No, we came to dance. We should go on dancing.
We're alone on the floor.
So much the better.
Oh, Press, let go of me. If you don't let go of
it's
me.
It's a beautiful fall. Don't you think so, Miss
Marsden? Oh, take me away from here. Take me away.
Good night, Aunt Belle. General Bogardus, sir.
You're not coming in, Press?
No, ma'am.
Good night.
Night.
Well.
Goodbye, Julie.
Is that all you've got to say to me?
There's nothing more to say.
Even if I was wrong?
You couldn't be wrong. You're Julie Marsden.
Am I to go down on my knees?
It'd be interesting, but utterly useless.
Evidently, you've made up your mind.
No, Julie, you've made up my mind.
Well, then... Goodbye, Press.
Goodbye, Julie.
Julie, don't let him go. Go after him.
Me? After him?
Yes, Julie, quickly. Oh, Julie, you're such a fool.
Not so big a fool. He'll come back.
Not this time, he won't. Believe me.
Wait and see. He'll come back. Yet tonight, I think. If he does, say I've retired. And tell him I'm sleeping late in the morning. Not to come round till tomorrow afternoon.
Julie.
Tell him. Tell him. Tell him.
Welcome back. Thank you, David. To the WGN Radio Theater, I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, Lisa Wolf. Mike Estella's here. Shane Reardon. That's your team on Saturdays. But we're here also on Sunday nights. I want to remind you that we're here 2 days a week. 3 hours each of those days, which the last time I checked is 6 hours. Right, Lisa?
No, it's good, Carl.
Pretty good. 6 hours. We're here 11 to 2 on Saturdays and 11 to 2 on Sundays, playing all your favorite classic radio shows. The Shadow and Jack Benny and Burns and Allen, The Whistler, Suspense, Fibber McGee and Molly. I can go on and on and on. And, you know, we've had a lot of people texting saying, okay, we've had it. We're enough with the salutes. So we are kiboshing the salutes
for now.
After tomorrow.
Right.
Tomorrow we're saluting James Cagney. But then next weekend we have an entire weekend of detective shows. But then there's a lot of comedies coming your way in August. And, of course, mysteries and detective and sci-fi shows as well. So back to the regular schedule.
And we do appreciate your input because we do schedule based on what you tell us. So
right.
We do like your comments and suggestions.
Absolutely. We have a website for people to go to. It's WGNRadioTheater.com. And you could also search us on Facebook at WGN Radio Theater. Right, Mike?
Absolutely.
And there's a Twitter, too, whatever that is?
There is, at WGN Radio Theater.
Can you take medicine to get rid of that?
I'm not sure.
If you have a Twitter?
Maybe.
Okay.
And we have a text in line, which is the same as our call-in line, 312-981-7200.
That's a lot of ways to get a hold of us.
It is, and we are right here waiting for you.
We're very accessible, and you can look at us.
Too many ways?
Well, Shane is. I don't know about us.
I'm not accessible at all.
Don't
get a hold of me.
Too many ways.
Too much.
Because they can watch us, too.
Oh, no.
You just go to whatever
WGNradio.com.
It is.
WGNradio.com.
Yeah, you can watch us on the Internet. And then if you're on Michigan Avenue, although it's pretty rainy tonight, but if you were on Michigan Avenue, you can just...
Run by in the rain.
Put your nose up against the glass, and we'd see you there.
Or make out with your significant other right on the curb.
Shane likes to watch out the window and watch public displays of affection.
There was a couple out there having a lot of interaction.
Yeah, I believe in true love, and that's it.
Yeah,
that was
Shane
it.
Was pounding on the window. He's like, get a room.
I don't think they heard him, but I did.
They weren't listening to Shane. They were really,
somebody's
focused.
Calling Shane.
They were focused on each other. Okay, it's time now to get back to Jezebel, starring Bette Davis. Here's the conclusion to Academy Award Theater.
Two of tonight's picture, Jezebel, starring the Academy Award winners, Miss Bette Davis and Miss Anne Revere.
Dawn brought heavy mists, the persistent melancholy of the booming fever cannon, a chill which sank deep into our souls.
She lost him. She lost Preston Dillard through her own downright cussedness in flaunting herself in that red dress at the Olympus ball.
Theophilus, you must understand. She didn't know about Preston. After all, he was away for over a year. All during that time, she hardly went out of the house save to ride that wild thoroughbred of hers.
Yes.
That quiet and moody. She wouldn't even have tried to escape the plague here in the city if she hadn't heard that Preston was coming back. If you could have heard what she told me.
He had to come to me, Annabelle. He couldn't help himself. You see, he wouldn't know how to fight as hard as I have to keep from going to him. We'll be married. I'm going to beg his forgiveness. I was vicious and mean and selfish, and I'm going to tell him I hated myself for being like that. I'll humble myself before him. All that ever stood between us will be gone when he takes me in his arms.
Dear, dear child.
Perhaps we'd better go to the plantation now that Press is coming. Of course, Annabelle is the place for our meeting. We'd better start packing. We'll give a party to celebrate.
And they came, all of them, the old, old friends. Buck Cantrell, Ted Dillard Press's brother, Dr. Livingston. Everyone came to house him. And Julie was walking on the clouds and dressed herself in the white dress that she was to have worn to the ball with Press. And Press. He came, and when the carriage stopped, my heart stopped, too. Oh, Julie.
Aunt Belle. Oh, it's wonderful to be back at Halcyon. I would have come even if I weren't invited.
My dear, dear Preston.
Aunt Belle, I have a surprise. This is Amy, my wife.
His wife?
wanted married. I tried to get away to warn Julie, but I had to stay with our guest, and while I was upstairs, she found him as he was in the library of Halcyon.
Press. Don't move, Press. Are you remembering the time you wanted me to wear white? Are you? Well, until now, I never have. Cat got your tongue, Press.
Julie.
Oh, Press, what fools we were.
Please, that's over, Julie.
Yes, of course. Press, I can't believe it's you here. I've dreamed it so long. A lifetime. No. Longer than that.
But, Julie,
oh, no, don't say it yet. I'll put on this white dress for you. To help me tell you how humbly I ask you to forgive me. See, Press. I'm kneeling to you.
Julie, don't.
I want to, Press. I must make you forgive me and love me as I love you.
Julie. Get up. Please.
I've been looking for you, Press.
Julie, this is Amy. My wife.
Julie. Julie, where are you?
Here, Aunt Belle. I was just about to congratulate Press on his marriage. I'm very happy, Mrs. Dillard, to welcome you to Halcyon.
Julie, child, I'm so sorry.
Oh, for heaven's sake, don't be gentle with me now. Do you think I want to be wept over? I've got to think, to plan.
Julie, you can't fight marriage.
Married to that little washed-out Yankee. Press is mine, he's always been mine, and I'm going to have him. Press, why did you do it?
We'd better join the others.
Why?
Because I love her.
No, you're not such a fool, not after you had my love. How much do you remember?
Everything you ever said or did. But it's past now. It's finished.
I ought to have come to you. I wanted to so terribly. So much that I couldn't. And you felt that way, too. That's what brought you back, Press. You had to come back to the country you know so well. Press, listen. The night noises. The moon through the cypresses. Can you taste the night on your tongue? It's part of you, Press. The mockingbirds and the magnolias. The blue haze on a spring morning when the air is so soft it presses you like a kiss. It's the river rolling forever. The country you were born to.
Julie, please don't do this.
It's part of you, Press. Just as I'm part of you, and we'll never let you go. Press, put your arms around me.
Oh, Julie.
This is your country, Press. Amy couldn't understand it. She thinks there'd be snakes.
Yes, and she'd be right. You talk about belonging. Amy's put her life and happiness in my hands. And they're going to be safe there. I think we'd better go in now.
Tried to win him back. When she failed, she did the unforgivable thing. She set herself willfully to cause trouble.
Yes, the others. She seemed possessed that night.
I hear Press had to go into the city.
Yes, they sent for him.
I hope he'll be all right. I had grave reports of conditions there. The plague is sweeping on despite all effort to check it.
Yeah, they posted a governor's measure to guard through the parish. No one will be permitted to leave the city or to enter it now.
Oh, I'm so worried about Press.
I pity he had to leave now. But I suppose his bank comes first.
Well, Press is devoted to the bank.
Rather unfortunately so.
You don't find that admirable, Miss Marston?
Well, it just seems to me that there are other things more interesting. I imagine Buck finds it so, too.
That's right, Miss Julie. I never go into a bank if I can help it.
Why, Buck?
Because it seems to me they're mostly always studying how they can get away something from somebody.
Oh, I'm sure Buck doesn't mean that the way it sounds.
I'm sure Mr. Cantrell is capable of defending his own insinuations.
Why, Mistress Dillard, I didn't mean to offend. I was just talking.
Of course. Amy, he doesn't realize what he's saying. Doesn't even realize how Julie is using him.
Why, Buck, am I using you?
I'd be right happy if you'd explain that remark, sir.
I'll explain it. You're fool enough to defend what you don't even understand. That Julie's been egging you on. First against Press, and now against his wife.
Well, that's pretty talk, isn't it, Buck?
Yes, Miss Julie. That's very impolite talk, very.
Let's put it this way, Mr. Cantrell. All evening I thought you coarse and not a gentleman.
Why, you insolent...
At your service, sir.
Ted, you can't do this. I'm afraid, Mrs. Dillard, you don't understand our southern customs.
Gentlemen, will you please take your places? Remember, gentlemen, you turn and fire at the count of 10. Are you ready?
Ready. I'm ready.
Very well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Buck's dead.
Julie, you she-devil.
Come on, Amy, we're getting out of here.
We're all going.
How do you propose to get through the guard? And there's yellow fever in the city. Surely my hospitality is better than the plague.
We'll get through. Good night, ma'am. I shall never speak to her again, even though she returned one day from the dead.
When she heard that he was stricken, she had to come to him, don't you understand? She went through the swamp, past the guards, risked her life to get to him.
His wife was at his side. She belonged there.
Julie belonged there, too. Amy understands that now.
She stole him away from Amy as he lay dying.
The office. You must not judge.
Believe me, Mrs. Dillard, it's unthinkable that you go with him there.
Armed guards are coming to take him to the leper island.
It's the law. All who catch the fever must go.
When they come for him, I'm going with him. No, you can't go, Amy. It is your right to go. You're his wife, but are you fit to go? Loving him isn't enough. If you gave him all your strength, would it be enough?
I'll make him live. I'll die with him.
Amy, do you know the Creole word for fever powder, for food, for water? Can you talk to a sullen, overworked black boy and make him fear you and help you? Press his life and yours will hang on words you can't say, and you'll both surely die.
I must go with him.
Listen, Amy, they're coming. Coming for him. Oh, Amy, it isn't a question of proving your love by laying down your life for Press. Nothing so easy. Have you the knowledge and the strength to fight for his life and your own? Amy, it's no longer you or I.
What do you mean?
I'll make him live. I will. You see, I know how to fight better than you.
I'll fight to the death itself.
Where is he?
Upstairs. Amy, you're the bravest woman I ever saw. I believe you even have the courage to save him by giving me the right to go in your place. Oh, you're not afraid to die. I know that. I boldly ask a greater sacrifice in Press's name, his life.
You love him even more than I believe within your power.
Oh, let me prove myself worthy of the love I bear him.
Julie, tell me. Something which only you can tell me. Does Press still love you? He himself might know, but you would. Tell me.
Amy, what does it matter who Press loves? It's his life that matters.
Tell me.
We both know Press loves his wife. Whom else could Press love? Not me, surely. I've done so much against him. Had there been any love in his heart for me, I'd have taken him away from you. I tried and failed. Because he loves only you.
I'm grateful for you telling me, in your own way, what I had to know. Take care of him, Julie. I believe you've earned whatever right is mine.
God protect you and Press.
Go with him.
Amy. Thank you.
Press. Press, wait.
Let's get started. We've got to get him to the island.
Press. Press, I'm here. I'll always be here, Press. Press, darling. I'm here.
Come, Miss Bell. They've gone. And there's no turning back. Come, you cannot stay here in the street. Miss Bell, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking of a woman called Jezebel, who did evil in the sight of God.
Ladies and gentlemen, on this first presentation of Academy Award, to introduce a distinguished artist, known and loved by you on the air as Dr. Christian, president of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, Mr. Gene Herschel.
Good evening. Miss Davis and Miss Revere, your performances were superb. Also, thank you, Miss Revere, for so brilliantly playing the role of Aunt Bell in place of Miss Faye Bainter, who is ill. And to you, Miss Bainter, our best wishes for a speedy recovery. The Academy appreciates the significance of this series of broadcasts. We are grateful to E.R. Squibb and Sons for their vision and support in sponsoring these programs. The Academy is dedicated to lifting the standards of motion pictures even higher. It values this platform of expression and views with deep satisfaction the determination to make this radio program, through a broad variety of great weekly broadcasts, an institution in the life of America.
Miss Betty Davis will soon be seen in A Stolen Life, produced by Warner Brothers, also producers of Devotion. Miss Anne Revere will soon be seen in the 20th Century Fox production, Dragonwing. This is Hugh Brundage bidding you good night until next week at the same time, when the House of Squibb invites you to join us for Academy Award. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is Academy Award Theater from an original broadcast date of March 30th, 1946, with Jezebel starring the one and only Betty Davis. Also in that cast, we heard Anne Revere and Gene Herschel doing the hosting there. Gene Herschel was Dr. Christian on radio, heard on CBS. Let's take a break, and then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. ...12:08 on a Sunday morning. This is the WGN Radio Theater, and we're here every Saturday and Sunday night, 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning, playing your favorite classic radio shows. Yes, indeedy. And in this hour, Lisa Wolf, my co-host, we're going to tune in to a Betty Davis episode of Suspense. It's called Good Night, Mrs. Russell from 1949. You will not want to miss that. A really good episode. And then in our third hour, we'll tune in to the Screen Guild Theater starring Betty Davis, along with Paul Lucas in Watch on the Rhine from 1944. And there's some great pictures of Betty Davis that we're posting on our Facebook page. So just go to Facebook and search WGN Radio Theater, and you'll see some very cool glamour shots of Betty Davis up there.
And there's some glamour shots of Shane as well.
Just yeah, there's some pictures of Shane.
In case you'd like to check him out.
And there's tens of thousands of pictures of Lisa Wolf.
Nothing.
Yeah, at our website and our Facebook page. So check all of that out. And all of this fun classic radio is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress will reprise her role as the Red Squirrel in the computer-animated comedy The Nut Job 2, sequel to the 2014 film.
All right.
And
what do they win?
If you get this correctly, you win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's My Favorite Pizza and Home of Chicago's Best Deep Dish Pizza.
All right. Here's a hint. Well, first of all, the number 312-981-7200, if you know who this actress is. Here she is starring in 27 Dresses.
You used me to get ahead in your career. Be a man and admit it, or don't.
All right. Be a man, Lisa.
Yeah.
And admit
it. I got a man up.
Would you be a man and admit it, Lisa?
I can try.
All right. 312-981-7200. Call us with the answer. If you get on the air, you're going to win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back. This is the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop and listening to some cool tunes. Let's play that movie clip again.
You used me to get ahead in your career. Be a man and admit it, or don't.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm great. Do you recognize that voice?
Mm-hmm. It's Katherine Heigl.
You are right, Mary. You are a winner. You have won a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, my favorite, and you can visit one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. And we hope that you'll check them out online at loumalnatis.com and have a delicious pizza on us.
Well, thank you, and I love your show, and I'm just enjoying you guys on the radio.
Oh, thank you. We really appreciate your listening.
Thanks, Mary. We appreciate you. Thanks for calling in. All right, Lisa Wolf, ready for one of the best mystery shows of all time. We play a lot of suspense.
We do appreciate suspense.
Yeah, suspense is great because all of the great movie stars appeared on Suspense. It was a mystery series actually conceived as a radio vehicle for Alfred Hitchcock to direct. And he did direct the pilot episode, but then was never involved in the series. But really, it was all kind of CBS said, you know, let's nab this guy. He's a great director, this Alfred Hitchcock. Let's have him direct a regular radio series. They're going to pay him big bucks to do it, too. And then it never happened. But CBS did have Suspense on the air from 1942 until 1962, so basically 20 years. Of the best mystery series of all time. It was billed as radio's outstanding theater of thrills, and it really did have the best stars in the not only the golden age of radio, but also the golden age of movies. You had Cary Grant and Jimmy Stewart, Henry Fonda, Orson Welles. And in 1949, on October 20th, Betty Davis appeared before the CBS microphones to star in an episode of Suspense called Good Night, Mrs. Russell. So let's tune this in. Part one now from October 20th, 1949. Here's a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Suspense. Autolite and its 96,000 dealers present Miss Betty Davis in Goodnight, Mrs. Russell, a suspense play produced and edited by William Spear. And now with Goodnight, Mrs. Russell, starring Miss Betty Davis with Elliot Reed, Autolite hopes once again to keep you in suspense.
There's no escaping now. He hasn't said a word for 10 minutes. I know he's turning over in his mind how he's going to kill me. Argument and reasoning are useless. It's almost dawn now. In a little while, the milkman and the paper boys will be making their rounds. I'll be dead. The cafe was just half a block away from where I worked. It was a small, pleasant little place, spotlessly clean, with a large plate glass window on the sidewalk. And there was always a beautiful-looking roast turkey and a juicy baked ham in the window, and you could watch Henry carve off succulent pieces of meat and arrange them into neat sandwiches with an olive and a dab of potato salad on the plate. Every noon, all of us who worked in the Hilmar building would go there for lunch. We crowded in on the high stools and jabbered, as women do, while Henry patiently served us and put up with our female chatter. He was always the only one there.
How are you today, ma'am?
Fine, thank you, Henry. How about some of your nice baked ham?
Yes, ma'am. Coming up.
He was always especially nice to me. I suppose that was because I'm, well, a little older than the others. Other girls are all very young, very cute.
Henry always seemed uncomfortable a little with them.
Yes, ma'am. Coffee?
Please. I believe I'll have some of your cherry pie. You're an excellent cook, Henry.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I'm glad you think so. 20 and 15's 35, and...
Henry had been right in the middle of adding up my check when he stopped and stood very still and looked out of the corner of his eye with his head cocked on one side as though he were listening to something. His expression was a little horrified. I thought maybe he'd heard a sound that meant something to him, you know, like the refrigerator out of order or something. And then all of a sudden he shook his head and brushed away whatever it was he'd heard.
20 and 15 is 35 and 45. You should try one of my dinners sometime, ma'am.
Yeah, Henry. Henry, how about some service?
Oh, excuse me, ma'am.
That was Henry. Oh, one other thing. Funny, but Henry never smiled. Perhaps I should have realized about him because of that. But I didn't. He was so nice and clean and polite, I rather liked him. As a rule, I make my own dinner in the apartment, but one night I had to work quite late at the office, and I decided to stop by Henry's and get a little bite before catching the streetcar home. Ever since my husband's death, I felt just a little uneasy on the streets alone at night. I was glad to see the bright light in Henry's little cafe down the block. Henry was alone inside, and I could see him fussing around, cleaning up the place. He didn't hear me approaching.
What's that? Oh, you frightened me, ma'am. I didn't hear you coming.
I just thought I'd try one of your dinners tonight, Henry. You mentioned it.
Yes, I know. Sit down, won't you, ma'am?
You weren't closing or anything?
No, not at all. What would you like?
Oh, I'll try your number four dinner.
Number four? Yes, ma'am.
He seemed frightened about something or suspicious. Yes, that was it. He seemed suspicious about something, I thought. I wanted to help him somehow, but I didn't want to butt in.
This is the first time you've ever been by here at night, ma'am.
Yes, I had to work late tonight, Henry. Didn't want to go home without dinner, you know.
I see.
Is something wrong, Henry?
No. I'll get the rest of your dinner.
Delicious soup.
Thank you, ma'am. You don't often work late, do you?
No, I don't. This is the first time, in fact. My boss asked me to stay late to type some letters.
I know. You work in the Hillmar building.
Why, yes, I do. How did
I know lots of things, ma'am.
This is a good dinner, Henry. I guess I'm not as hungry as I thought I was. I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave some of it.
I thought you liked my cooking. You said so just the other day.
Oh, I do. I think you're a fine cook, Henry. I'm just not hungry tonight. I waited too long to eat, I guess.
You don't have to make excuses, ma'am. If you didn't like it, just say so.
Oh, no, I mean it. Your food is wonderful, Henry. If it weren't, I wouldn't have come here.
Wouldn't you?
No. Now, could I have my check, please?
85 cents, ma'am.
All right. There you are, Henry. You may keep the change.
I'd rather not, ma'am. Here.
Very well. Good night, Henry.
Good night. And, ma'am.
Yes.
Next time you come, I'll have something you like.
But I did like. Oh, good night, Henry.
Good night, Mrs. Russell.
It was good food, but I felt ill at ease in there for some reason. That's why I couldn't eat. I decided not to go back there alone. Rather hard to talk to Henry. And I didn't go back alone. That is, not for 3 weeks. Had to work late, and again, and for the last time, I went to Henry's.
Henry.
Ah, you decided to try me again, I see.
Why, Henry, I've been eating here every day.
Not at night.
What's the difference?
Well, in the daytime, you're always with your friends.
I like to eat with my friends. Now, come on, let's have no more of this silly talk. How about one of your wonderful dinners, Henry? I promise to eat all of it tonight.
All right, ma'am. Which one?
I'll try the number 4 again, please. I think that way I can convince you I really like it.
Why?
Why? Oh, because I think 4 is lucky, don't you?
All right, ma'am. It's all ready.
Don't have many customers at night, do you, Henry?
No, ma'am. Not many.
I'm surprised you stay open.
Are you? There you are. I hope...
Henry, what is it? You seem to be listening for something. Is there...
Are you enjoying your dinner?
I hate to sound like I'm prying. I know it isn't my business at all, but I do think something's bothering you.
Do you?
Yes, isn't there some way I can help you?
Nothing's bothering me, ma'am.
Yes. You know, I had a son like you.
Did you?
He was in the army, killed in the war. He was very much like you.
I see.
That left me all alone in the world. My husband Leonard died 4 years ago.
Yes?
He was a wonderful man. Everyone admired him. A contractor, you know.
I see.
He noticed that as I talked away about my family and everything, he became very quiet. He sat down on the cooler back of the counter and just watched me. His face absolutely blank. I couldn't tell what he was thinking. When I'd ask him a question, he'd just answer with, I see, or yes, or no. Sometimes he wouldn't answer at all, just stare at me. I was getting uneasy again. I just about decided to make up an excuse to pay my bill and leave. It was getting quite late when my head began to feel heavy and I began to feel sick. Henry, I feel ill. Henry, I'm awfully dizzy. I don't think I can. Henry, can't you hear me? I believe I'm going to faint. Perhaps you'd better help. Did you do something?
Good night, Mrs. Russell.
I don't know how long I was unconscious. It seemed just for a moment crowded with horrible nightmares and dreadful sounds. I remember hearing a woman screaming and crying horribly. It was ghastly. I must have been unconscious several hours. And when I opened my eyes, it was dark, pitch dark. A clock was ticking somewhere, and I realized that the screaming woman had been me. Is anyone here? I'm tied up. Who's there? Can anyone hear me? Help! 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 Where am I?
You're in my room, Mrs. Russell.
This is why suspense was such a favorite with listeners, Lisa, because they had the best writing, the best acting, the best supporting casts, and the best directing, and of course the best stars. So there you go.
The plot
when you have the best, it's usually the best.
Yeah, right? I know what it's like to work with the best, just saying.
This episode is called Good Night, Mrs. Russell, from October 20th, 1949. Terrific cast in this, along with Betty Davis. You have Elliot Reed, Paul Frees doing the announcing. Paul Frees was Boris Badenoff on the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. And then Harlow Wilcox. There's Harlow again. Yeah. A lot of Harlow radio shows.
Yeah, we work with him quite often.
Yes. Zert on CBS. We'll get back to suspense in just a few minutes. I want to remind all of our listeners that next week, Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride Kitty Litter, will be here to give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride Kitty Litter to one of our lucky listeners. Now, if you have not sent in a picture of your cat or you and your cat to us here, you should do that this week. You can do it tonight. You can do it from now all the way to next Sunday, and we will automatically enter you in the drawing along with the other people that have been in this already. Right, Lisa?
Yeah, we just received a few entries during the show, so you've got one more week to do it, but we're hoping you do it now. Send in your photo to catspridephoto@gmail.com, and we'd love to enter you in the drawing for an entire year's supply of Cat's Pride Kitty Litter, the premier kitty litter on the market.
Yeah, and in fact, our clip earlier had Katherine Heigl on it, and she is the spokesperson for Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Care, which is the best kitty litter in the market, and you should switch to Cat's Pride Ultimate Care because not only is it half the weight, so it's a lot easier for you to carry from your car to your house or from the grocery store to your car, but it's the same amount of uses, plus a portion of that sale is donated to a charity, to Katherine Heigl's charity, which helps. Every dollar goes to help cats and dogs in shelters all across the country to make their lives better.
Right. It's the Jason Diebes Heigl. Jason Diebes Heigl Foundation.
Right. So do switch to Ultimate Care, Cat's Pride, Ultimate Care Fresh and Light. All right. So let's take a break. And we have Roger Banish up there. Look,
all right.
There's Roger.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Roger.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
We missed you all week.
I've dried out.
That's good.
Missed you guys, too.
We like you. We like you dry.
Thank you. And Lisa has been the TV star all week long. I've been following you on Facebook.
Thank you, Roger.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, it's, wow. It's, you know, you got to make a living around here.
She has a face for radio and a face for television.
And this just ain't cutting it.
All right, it's 12:36 in the morning on a Sunday morning here. Thank you for joining us for the WGN Radio Theater. We're in the midst of tuning into Suspense with Betty Davis. And then after this Suspense broadcast, we're going to tune in to Watch on the Rhine, a good radio adaptation of the film starring Betty Davis along with Paul Lucas. And let's see. Yeah, that's coming up in our third hour. It's from 1944. Now, tomorrow, well, actually tonight when we come back here, at 11 o'clock, although we do get here at 10, but we don't go on the air till 11, right, Lisa?
Right, that's important to know.
We get here an hour early. You know, we're prepared. We like
right.
to get
Roger's here. Roger's here, too.
Prepare. We have a salute to James Cagney, Jimmy Cagney. And you know what? We have three awesome radio shows with Jimmy Cagney tomorrow, or tonight, I should say, at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock.
10, 11 today,
10,
tomorrow.
10, 11, 12.
Just next time.
These are
East Coast or West Coast time?
Yeah, it's going to be Central.
Confused.
So James Cagney stars in Arch Obler's Plays with Johnny Gets His Gun. It's a great, great episode. Wait till you hear this. You're going to be blown away by it. And then Suspense, and then the Screen Guild Theater. That's tonight at 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. But right now, let's get back to this. Good Night, Mrs. Russell is the title from 1949. Here's the conclusion to Suspense.
It was Henry. Where was he? The room was black as night. I could see nothing. What was I doing here? Why was I tied up? How did I get here? I remembered nothing after feeling dizzy at Henry's. So that was it. You You put something in my food, didn't you, Henry?
Yes, I did, Mrs. Russell. I didn't want to kill you at the cafe, you see.
Kill you?
Yes, Mrs. Russell. Kill you. Dead.
Why, Henry? Why?
Because you're my enemy. You and all the others.
Your enemy? I like you, Henry. I've always liked you. I don't
lie, Mrs. Russell. You thought I didn't know, didn't you? You thought I didn't know what you were up to.
What I was up to?
Planning to kill me. Night after night, I've heard you, all of you, outside my window, whispering, talking about how you were going to kill me. Didn't you know I could hear you?
Yeah, I'm saying.
Oh, no, I'm smart, Mrs. Russell. And you know it. That's why all of you planned to kill me, get rid of me. Oh, it's just lucky I found out you were one of them. You'll be the first to die, Mrs. Russell. And you're going to die slowly, in the dark. How do you like that, Mrs. Russell? Be quiet, Mrs. Russell. Or I'll have to beat you up before I kill you.
I tried to make myself think. I remembered you're supposed to humor people that are like Henry. I tried to control myself.
No one can hear you. No one even knows you're here. And I'm not going to untie you either. Not until you're dead.
Henry, I'm only in...
You'll lie here in the dark and listen to the clock for half an hour. Just half an hour, Mrs. Russell. And then I'll kill you. You see, I want you to suffer like you've made me suffer.
Henry, I'm just an ordinary woman.
Oh, I'm smart enough to see through those remarks you made.
Remarks?
Always talking about what a good cook I was. As if you felt I wasn't a man. I know what you were thinking.
Henry, I didn't mean anything of the sort. I really...
And then rubbing it in about your precious son in the army. Rubbing it in, torturing
him. Henry, that's wrong.
And always ordering number 4 dinner. Oh, I'm smart, you see, Mrs. Russell. I can figure things out. Number 4 is lucky, you said. 4 for 4F, you meant.
Henry, all those things, they were your imagination. I didn't mean them that way at all. I didn't know about the army.
Weak excuses, Mrs. Russell. Oh, you're like all the rest. I'm too smart for you, and you know it. So you want to kill me. I'm a dangerous enemy, Mrs. Russell.
Oh, how long have I got to live, Henry?
Oh, a half hour. I don't know. The alarm will ring, and then I'll kill you.
I was resigned to it then. It seemed so hopeless. But then I thought if I could just get him to turn on the light, I might see a way out. It was a forlorn hope, but I tried it. Henry? Henry? How do you know you set the clock right? Henry?
I heard you.
No, you didn't answer, I thought.
You thought you could get me to turn on the light. Sorry, Mrs. Russell.
Henry? You're torturing yourself more than you are me, Henry. Do you know that?
What do you mean?
Well, you don't know when the alarm's going to ring either. You must be sitting on the edge of your seat waiting to hear it. Aren't you? You see, when it rings, I know that I'll have to die. But you know that you'll have to commit a terrible crime. Murder, Henry.
Shut up.
It is true, then, isn't it?
You can't trick me into turning on the light. I'm too smart for that. Oh, you're going to suffer in the dark. As I have. I decided to turn on the light, Mrs. Russell.
At first I was blind to having been in the dark so long. Then I saw his hands. They were long, slim and brown. Blue veins stood out on the backs of them. I looked up at him. He was glaring at me from beneath his
vouching for it. Then he picked up the alarm clock and looked at it. Henry, I see it's 3:10.
Yes, Mrs. Russell. You have 10 minutes to live. Can you wait?
It was a tiny, neat living room. I was on a couch. The shades were down. There was no phone. Well, the front door might be unlocked. It might be. I can wait, Henry. 8 minutes now. Somehow with the lights on, I felt more optimistic, though. The hands were racing each other around the face of the clock. If I could just get untied now, there'd be a chance. I'd have to be careful, but quick, quick.
5 minutes, Mrs. Russell.
Henry, what are those things strapped to that board over there on the wall?
Huh? Oh, that's my collection.
A collection?
Match folders.
Oh, do you collect match folders?
Oh, yes. I'll show them to you.
Oh, I held my breath as he took them down off the wall. If that clock would only stand still for 5 minutes.
Here. See? I have folders from all the famous night spots. Here's Ciro's and the Stork Club and 21. I bet you didn't think I'd been to all those places, did you?
Oh, I know. Have you, Henry?
Oh, sure. Lots of times. People would never believe me. That's why I have these.
They're lovely, Henry. Henry, my arms and legs are numb from being tied up like this. Could you?
No! I warned you not to get tricky, Mrs. Russell.
I just wanted you to loosen my hand so I could look at your collection.
Well, just your hands.
Forgotten about everything. His collection for the moment. But that alarm would go any second and I would remind him.
Here.
As he untied my hands, my eyes fell on a large jade bookend beside the couch.
There. Now, be careful, Mrs. Russell. You just wanted to see my collection, remember?
Yes, Henry, show it to me.
Now. Oh, see this one? That's from the coconut grove.
Yes, yes, and, Henry. I let my hand steal along the couch toward the bookend.
Dwarf. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, yes, it is, Henry.
And,
I had it in my hand.
You're not paying attention.
Oh, yes, I am, Henry. I don't remember doing it, but somehow I'd gotten the bindings off my feet, and I was outside in the night. He'd been telling the truth. His house was completely isolated on one block. I ran down the block as hard as I could. I didn't even think about direction, just ran. I knew he'd come to in a minute, and I had to get out of sight. I'm not used to such exercise, and my heart was pounding so hard it ached. In the middle of the next block, I stopped for a moment and leaned against a tree to breathe. And I looked back, and I saw him. I could see him beneath the street lamp. He'd stopped, not knowing which way I'd gone. He was wild. His mouth was hanging open loosely. I shrank back further in the shadows and prayed he'd go the other way. He didn't. He started walking rapidly again in my direction. There was a house in this block, a big rambling place. It was after 3 a.m. and the people would be asleep, but I knew I could run no further. Help! Help! Let me in, please! Please open the door! Open! And then I saw the note pinned to the door. It said no milk for 10 days. I could hear Henry's footsteps down the street, and I knew he must have heard me. My heart felt as though it would burst. The street was deserted. And then I heard a car approaching. It was a block away. I ran out in the street and waved my arms. Help! Help me! Stop, please! Please, stop! 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 Help! 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 Help!
Hello, Mrs. Russell.
Henry!
Come on, Mrs. Russell. Come on! Now, we're going home again.
Mrs. Russell?
There's no escaping now. He hasn't said a word for 10 minutes. I know he's turning over in his mind how he's going to kill me. It's almost dawn now. In a little while, the milkmen and paper boys will be making their rounds. I'll be dead.
You shouldn't have tried to get away, Mrs. Russell. You made me very mad.
I know.
You shouldn't have hit me either. You were even smarter than I thought, Mrs. Russell. You almost made it. But you weren't smart enough, were you?
If you're going to kill me, Henry, please do it. Haven't you tortured me enough?
You see, it just didn't do you any good to be my enemy, did it? Oh, I don't like to kill you, but I have to. It's the only way I can protect
myself. Don't you see you're not well, Henry? Please try to listen to me.
You'll have to kill all the others, too. If I don't, they'll kill me.
The others?
Oh, don't pretend you don't know, Mrs. Russell. Oh, I've heard them whispering about me. You must have heard them, too. The voices.
The voices?
All the time. Just like I told you. When I'm at work and even here at home, I hear them plotting. They don't know I know.
Henry, there's no one. It's all an illusion. Don't you see?
Just like you are. They're afraid of me because they know I can outsmart them. I'm too clever for them, and they know it. That's why they want to kill me. That's why you want to kill me, isn't it, Mrs. Russell?
I don't want to kill you, Henry, if only...
Oh, I've sort of got to like you, Mrs. Russell. If you weren't dangerous to me, I might let you live.
I'm not dangerous to you, Henry.
Oh, yes, you are. I've decided to choke you. If you close your eyes, it will happen very quickly. You'll hardly know it. Are you ready, Mrs. Russell? Please don't struggle. It'll be much easier for both of us. Aren't you gonna close your eyes?
No.
What's that?
What?
Listen. You can hear them. Don't you hear them? The voices.
The voices. The voices.
Don't you hear them?
Yes, I hear them, Henry.
See? Now you believe me, don't you? You hear what they're saying?
Yes. Yes, it's just as you said, Henry.
They must be right near.
Yes, right near.
Oh, there are a lot of them. Too many!
You'd better hide, Henry.
Yes. Yes, but where? They sound louder all the time.
They're getting closer. Have you a closet?
Yes, that's it. The closet. Over here.
Shall I help you, Henry?
Yes, yes. But be quick. This closet. I'll hide in here.
All right, Henry. I'll protect you. There. A good place to hide.
What if they find me here?
I'll lock the door, Henry.
No. I don't want to be locked in.
They're getting closer, Henry.
You'll unlock the door when they're gone?
Yes, Henry.
Lock the door. Mrs. Russell!
You'll be safe now. Good night, Henry.
Suspense, presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Miss Betty Davis, with Elliot Reed.
Next Thursday for Suspense, Victor Mature will be our star. The play is called Momentum. And it is, as we say,
a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Tonight's suspense play was produced and edited by William Spear and directed by Norman MacDonald. Music for Suspense is composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Bluskin. Good Night, Mrs. Russell was an original radio play written by Ben S. Hunter. Betty Davis will soon be seen in the Warner Brothers production Beyond the Forest.
You can buy Autolite resistor spark plugs, Autolite stayful batteries, Autolite electrical parts at your neighborhood Autolite dealers. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Back then, Lisa, if I was the producer-director of this series, and you were around, I would have made you the Autolite girl.
I can still
switch
be your Autolite.
Switch to Autolite.
Switch to Autolite.
Yeah, you'd be great at that.
Thanks, Carl.
Of course, I'd give you a dramatic part in there, too, but then you'd use a different voice, and then do the man voice you would do.
Well, I can't do
now. Lisa could play a man, actually, in radio dramas.
I have a man voice.
Can you do it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What?
Do it. Just say something.
The man voice?
Yeah.
I can't do it right now.
Oh, gosh.
It's like on demand.
You know what?
It's very difficult to perform that way.
An actress is supposed to be able to, on a dime, just...
On a dime.
Just, right, Shane?
Well, she really can do it.
Okay.
Ready, Lisa? Here we go.
All right. All right, Roger.
All right, ready? On the count of three, right?
Right.
Okay. One, two, three. And it's Autolite for your car needs.
And it's Autolite for your car needs.
Hey, I was supposed to do it while you mouthed the words.
Oh, I didn't get it.
Never mind. We'll work on
slow.
It. Okay.
Or you are.
Sorry, Lisa. I really wanted to be impressed.
Right. That
but
didn't
I wasn't.
Do it.
No,
I'm sorry.
I really was wanting to
You're
be.
Just not meant to be a man. I'm so sorry about that.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm kind of glad to hear that, actually.
Keep the woman.
All right. That was Good Night, Mrs. Russell, starring the one and only Bette Davis, along with Elliot Reed. Paul Frees doing the announcing, along with Harlow Wilcox. And a guy by the name of Lucian Morawick did the composing. Lucian. You don't hear that as a first name too often anymore. Lucian. And then Lud Gluskin. Lud. There's a name.
Lud Gluskin.
Lud. Hi, I'm going to name my son Lud.
I kind of like that name.
L-U-D.
Lud Gluskin. I like it.
Lud Gluskin.
You like that, Roger?
I think it's great.
October 20th, 19...
My name's Lud.
Hey, Lud. All right, from October 20th, 1949, that's Suspense. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. It's time now for our third Bette Davis radio show. This is the Lady Esther Screen Guild Theater, and this had leading Hollywood stars performing in radio adaptations of their most popular motion pictures. It debuted in 1939, ran all the way to 1952. It had many different titles while on the air, including the Gulf Screen Guild Theater, the Lady Esther Screen Guild Theater, the Camel Screen Guild Theater, and on and on. The fees that stars would typically charge, Lisa, were donated to the Motion Picture Relief Fund to help support the creation and maintenance of the motion picture Country Home for retired actors. And over the course of the series run, millions of dollars was donated to the cause. It's so great radio show, great cause, and a terrific episode we have for you now, Watch on the Rhine. And this is from January 10th, 1944. This stars Bette Davis along with Paul Lucas. Here's part one now of the Lady Esther Screen Guild Theater.
Lady Esther welcomes you to a brilliant radio and motion picture event. The Screen Guild Players presentation of Watch on the Rhine. Selected by Red Book magazine as the outstanding picture of 1943. With Greer Garson and Walter Pidgeon here in person to make the awards. The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players in Watch on the Rhine. Starring the original cast. Bette Davis, Paul Lucas, Lucille Watson, George Kalouris, and Donald Woods.
I'm home again. I'm in America. After almost 18 years in Europe, I'm home again. Here in the lovely big house near Washington where I was born. Sarah Farrelly. Judge Farrelly's little girl, they used to call me. And now I have a little girl of my own. Babette and two boys. And Kurt. Dear Kurt. Good Kurt. After all he's been through, still so gentle and so full of tenderness. I wonder what Mama will think of Kurt. She hasn't met him yet. David's gone upstairs to bring her down. David and Mama and home. I'm afraid I don't dare believe it yet. I put out my hand to touch a book, a chair, to make sure they're real, that they won't disappear. And then Kurt smiles. He looks at me and smiles
Because he understands.
Sarah, I have always known you must have grown up in a lovely house like this.
It is a lovely house. I'd almost forgotten. You know, I used to hope that we'd have a home of our own someday and settle down and... Oh, God, listen to me. I'm talking so foolish.
No, no, no. Stop it. You must enjoy your house, Sarah. You shall not be afraid you will hurt me because I have not given you a house like this. Yes?
Yes, of course. I'll be happy here, Court. I'll...
In here, Mama. The living room.
Hold your horses, David. I'm coming.
Sarah. Sarah, darling. Mama. Hello, Mama.
You're here. You're really here. Welcome home, Sarah. Welcome to your house.
Yes.
You too, Herr Muller. Welcome to this house.
Thank you, madam.
You're a good-looking man for a German. I like a good-looking man. I always have.
Father, is das gross, Mama?
Yes, young man. I'm your grandmother. Also, I speak German, so don't talk about me.
We will watch our tongues, madame. In all languages.
All languages?
We speak ignorantly but fluently in German, French, Italian, Spanish.
And sometimes boastfully in English, I think.
No, Father. We do not boast. If you are to fight for the good of all men... It is to be accepted that we must be among the most advanced.
Sarah, are these your children or are they dressed up midgets?
These are my children, Mama. This is Babette, this Bodo, and this is Joshua.
Joshua, young man, you were called for my late husband. He was a justice of the Supreme Court. You bear a great name.
Two great names, madame. My last name is Müller.
You see, I'm a hero to my children. It's boring to everybody but me. Now, Joshua, you will take Babette and Bodo outside. We wish to talk.
Yes, Papa. We will wait on the terrace. Come on,
yes,
Bodo.
Joshua.
Sarah, you've done well with them. They're nicely mannered.
They're good children, Mama.
They'll like it here. I have fine plans. I'm having the wing done over for you.
Well, that's very kind of you, Mama, but we won't make any plans for a while. Just a good long vacation for Kurt.
Vacation? But I thought you'd stay. David is seeing about schools for the children and an engineering post for Kurt.
But I have not worked as an engineer since many years, madam.
Then what do you do?
Mama,
it is very difficult to explain. Well, if you'd rather not.
Now, David, please, I'm trying to find out something. Herr Müller, may I ask it right out?
Let me help you, madam. I'm an anti-fascist.
But we're all anti-fascists.
Yes, Mama, but Kurt works at it.
What kind of work?
Any kind. Anywhere.
Very well, I will stop asking questions.
Yes, that would be sensible, I think, Mama.
Sarah, darling, don't be angry. It's just that we've been worried about you. We knew so little, except that you were having a hard time.
I didn't have a hard time.
Do not lie for me, Sarah,
please. I'm not lying, Kurt. I didn't have a hard time, the way they mean. Not ever.
Why can't you tell us that?
All right, I will tell you. It is very simple. There's a great sickness growing in Europe. Not only Germany, everywhere.
Kurt could see it coming even long before 33.
It was bad enough then. But when I see the Nazis killing people in the streets, I cannot longer just look on. I know my time has come to do more.
6 years. We've been fighting 6 years in Germany, in Italy, and in Spain. It doesn't pay in money to fight our fight. For the things we believe. But I wanted it the way Kurt wanted it. I always will.
Naturally, Sarah.
Only, you see, Kurt isn't very well, and there aren't many parts of Europe left where he could rest. You've always said you wanted us, so we came home. If you don't want us, we'll understand.
But we want you very much. Forever, or however long you want. Mama, you tell her.
Sarah, I'm old and made of dry cork and bad-mannered. Forgive me.
Of course, Mama. You know, for a minute I was almost mad. And I haven't been mad since I saw you last. It's true, then, we're home. It's different somehow. It's changed. The whole world has changed. Mama and David don't know it yet, but I'm afraid they'll have to find out. It's changed here, too, maybe because there are others here. Marthe Randolph, daughter of Jenny Randolph, who used to be Mama's dearest friend. Marthe Randolph and her husband, the Count de Brunkewitz. I don't like the Count. I don't like the way he looked at Kurt when they were introduced.
Müller, haven't we met before? In Paris, perhaps? I was in the Romanian legation.
No, we have not met before.
Oh, well, that's strange. I seem to have a feeling that... Well, it's no matter. Shall we have a drink?
The Count de Brankovitz. Perhaps
We should be watching him. We know by now that we must be suspicious, even of people in our own homes. Oh, but I want so desperately to be happy for a while, just for this little while. Mama's having a new dress made for me, a lovely new dress. In my room, I try it on and stand in the mirror and look at myself. I look at myself and then I say, me. I'd almost forgotten.
Sarah?
Oh, of course.
Liebe Sarah, you are beautiful.
Am I, Kurt?
Oh, how many years have I kept you from looking like that? It makes you have tears. It also makes me have tears.
If you say that, Kurt, I'll tell you.
No. Then I do not say it. I do not even think it. I think only how beautiful is my Sarah.
Kurt, darling.
Tell me, if you had not married me so many years ago, would you have married me today? I'm so tired and so shabby and you are so...
I would have married you any day in my life.
Then I must put my arms around you and... Oh, I stuck my finger on a pin.
This is just a first fitting. I'm a porcupine. Here, I'll get you a handkerchief, darling. And...
What is
Kurt?
It? What's wrong?
Your briefcase. I've kept it in this drawer and it's been tampered with. The lock has been forced.
And the money?
Oh, it's all here, I think. But the gun was put back in a different position.
The Brankovis. You think it was the Brankovis?
I'm sure of it, Kurt. It couldn't be anyone else. What will we do?
Nothing yet. We go downstairs and we join the others. And we pretend that we do not know anything at all.
Mama, don't you think Kurt plays well?
Yes, very well, David, and I like a man who plays the piano.
You know, it almost makes me feel that Herr Müller must be in politics.
Politics? Why, Debrankovic?
Oh, it was a saying we had in the Romanian legation. To be in politics, one must play cards and piano. Is that not true, Herr Müller?
Perhaps. When did you leave the diplomatic service, Count Debrankovic?
In 1931.
Uh-huh, after the Nazis showed their teeth, hmm? It is too bad. You guessed the wrong way, huh?
Decidedly.
And the Nazis have good memories?
Oh, excellent memories. Much better than mine. I can still not remember where I've seen you, Herr Müller, or heard about you. You know, it leads me to guessing. Bad guessing, I must confess. For a while, I thought you might even be Max Freidank. Yes, the leader of the German underground, Max Freidank.
Max Freidank is a hero to my people. You do me too much honor.
Yes, I found that out. The paper says Freidank was captured yesterday.
Kurt!
Bad news for you, Mrs. Murray. Friend of yours?
A friend to all decent Germans.
A friend to all decent people, Count Debrankovic.
Really? Oh. Your hands are shaking, Herr Müller.
My hands were broken. They are bad when I have fear.
I see. Will you excuse me now? Martha and I are dining in town. But we will not be late. It's possible I may see you when I return. Good night.
Kurt.
It may not be true. David, I will use your phone to make a call.
Of course.
It's there in the hall.
Thank you.
Sarah, what is it, darling? What?
What is this all about, Sarah?
I don't know all of it yet, but I do know that he broke open Kurt's briefcase, and he knows we're carrying $23,000.
$23,000?
Yes, Kurt works in the German underground. That money was collected here and in Mexico from the pennies and nickels of poor people who don't like fascism and who believe in the work we do. It was to be taken back by the first man going.
But this Max Freidank.
Max and Kurt. They loved each other. They were in the last war together. They were in Spain together. Once Max saved Kurt's life when he was hurt, carried him 7 miles across the border. And now they've caught him. Nobody's got much of a chance anymore. Nobody.
Sarah.
Yes, Kurt.
It is true. He's taken. But he's not dead. Max is not an easy man to kill. But most of his face and one arm...
Oh, beasts.
Yes, it is not easy when it comes. Well, Sarah?
Kurt, no. Max sent you here. You can't. You aren't well enough.
But now I am more well than he is. You understand. You always understand so well.
When will you go?
Tonight, I think. But I'm not sure. It will depend on the Count Debrankovic.
Theater has presented Act One of Watch on the Rhine, starring Lucille Watson, Paul Lucas, Betty Davis, Donald Woods, and George Kalouris. In just a moment, we will hear the Lady Esther Screen Guild players in Act Two.
All right, let's take a break here of Watch on the Rhine, starring Betty Davis, from 1944. And as I said earlier, there are some really cool pictures of Betty Davis on our Facebook page. So just go to Facebook and search for WGN Radio Theater. You'll see three really cool pictures of her. And I don't know if they're, you know, from when she did these radio shows, but there was one, I think, in front of a CBS microphone. So maybe is when she was doing Suspense or this broadcast.
I'm sexy and I know it.
Lisa sings a song to herself.
I do. I look in the mirror and I say.
She does it in the shower.
That's just what I say. I don't take showers.
You don't?
I don't
you don't take
any.
Showers?
I don't need any.
You don't take showers?
No, I'm just clean.
It's just.
I don't need a shower.
Yeah. I take a shower once a week, whether I need it or not.
Yeah, that's a lot of showers.
All right, it is 1:37 in the morning. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning, 6 hours, and we play six classic radio shows.
We're together 6 hours every week.
Gosh.
That's a lot of time to spend with you.
How do I put up with you?
I'm thinking, how do I put up with you?
We are tuning into Watch on the Rhine, starring Betty Davis, along with Paul Lucas from 1944. Here is the conclusion now of the Lady Esther Screen Guild Theater.
Lady Esther presents Act Two of Watch on the Rhine, starring Paul Lucas, Betty Davis, Lucille Watson, Donald Woods, and George Kalouris.
We're waiting now, waiting for the Count de Brankenbus to return. It's an awful thing to wait. Awful thing to know your whole world may turn on a single tiny moment. Kurt feels it, poor Kurt. I think it's hardest of all for him.
Waiting. It is waiting that is bad for me. It is such waiting for which I am not fit.
Please, Kurt.
Once in Spain, I waited for 2 days for the fascist planes to exhaust themselves. I say finally to myself, I will stop them if I have to reach up with my naked hands.
Kurt, must it always be your hands?
For each man his own hands. He has to sleep with them.
But isn't there someone else, a man who has no wife or children?
Each could have his own excuse, David. And my children are not the only children in the world, even to me.
But we were thinking of Sarah.
I want it this way, Mama, the way Kurt wants it. You wanted a good life for your children. We want it for ours, too. And if Kurt has to go back...
That is not decided yet, Sarah. We will wait.
And so we wait and scarcely talk. Finally, a car drives up. It stops. We hear the front door open and close. A few quick steps and muffled voices in the hall. He's here.
Good evening.
Last is here.
Herr Muller, I've been to the German embassy tonight.
Yes, Count de Brankovich, it is where I thought you would go.
Ma, you too?
Sarah, I don't know what this is all about, but I'm guessing because I know Tech. I have nothing to do with any of it. I have nothing to do with Tech anymore. I just told him we're through.
He's in love with David.
Why, you...
No, no, David, please. He can never understand anything that hasn't got tricks to it. He can't understand that I just don't like him. I never have. I'm sorry. Good night.
Well, a great many things have been said in the past few minutes. Tech, am I to understand?
Madame, without Martha, I shall be very lonely. Already, I am very poor. Before I go tonight, I should like to have $10,000.
You blackmailer, using your wife. I ought...
David, the Count is not bargaining with you and Martha. He's talking to me. Quite right, Herr Muller. I am talking to you. Tonight, I saw a secret list with detailed descriptions, one of which happens to fit you perfectly. Max Freidank's closest friend and co-worker, age 40 to 45, about 6 feet, weight about...
Please, do not describe it to myself.
Ah, thank you. And now, since Freidank has been taken, I think that you will be traveling home.
That is true.
I am going back. I'm starting tonight.
Starting is one thing. Arriving is another. If I should inform the German embassy that you are on the way,
So that's it. I've lived to see a man selling another man's life.
Granted, madame, it is very ugly. So I must hide my shame with very large money. Herr Müller, you have $23,000 in your briefcase.
Yes, you are an expert with lux.
For $10,000, you can go back to wherever you go. No one need ever know.
No, I'm sorry.
What?
Count de Brankovic, my children have been hungry sometimes. If I would not touch that money for them, I would not touch it for you.
You're a brave man, Herr Müller, but you will not get back.
Kurt, what does it mean? Is it true that if this swine talks...
Kurt will be caught and killed, if he's lucky enough to get killed.
Then we'll give him the money. Give it to him and kick him out. David.
Of course.
I have a large sum in my bedroom safe. Come along, we'll get it for him.
So, the new world has left the room. You know, Herr Müller, I feel more comfortable with you. We are the old world, born to trouble and understanding it.
You are not difficult to understand. Would you like a brandy?
Oh, thank you, I would.
You like the old world, hmm? You would like to go back?
Yes.
You know, I do not think the Nazis would pay you in money for simply telling them that I'm somewhere between here and Europe. But they may pay you in a visa. And I think you want the visa almost as much as you want money. Therefore, I conclude that you will try for the money here and the visa from the embassy.
I assure you, my friend, that if you give me the money, there will be...
You think I would allow this fantasy with the money? Unlike you, I do not take chances. I am not a gambler.
Kurt!
Sarah, now open the door to the terrace, quick.
Yes, Kurt.
And you will close it after us. I wish no one to come out.
Yes, Kurt.
All right, get up, Debrankovic. We go outside. Move quietly, please.
Hello? Hello, operator. I want the airport. Yes, hurry, please.
Sarah, here's the money for that filter. Where are they?
What's happened, Sarah? Where'd they go?
Outside.
Outside? I'd better go out.
No, David, don't go out there. Hello? Hello, is this the airport? What time is your next plane? Oh, to south, to El Paso or Brownsville. Yes, the ticket will be picked up. The name is Ritter. R-I-T-T-E-R. Thank you.
Sarah, what is going on here?
Kurtz killed him.
Yes, David. Kurtz going away tonight, and he's never coming back anymore. Never, never, never. I don't like to be alone at night. I guess everybody in the world's got a time they don't like. Mine is right before I go to sleep. And now it's going to be for always. All the rest of my life.
Sir.
I've told them, Kurt. I have a reservation for you on the midnight plane to Brownsville. Under the name of Ritter.
Liebe, sir. It is hard for you, no? And for you, Fanny.
Hard? Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Before I come in, I... stand and think. I say I will make Fanny and David understand. I say, how can I? Does one understand the killing? No. You will not believe me, but I pray that I will not have to touch him. And then I know I will have to. I know if I do not, it is only that I temper myself and risk the lives of others. All right. Shall I not pretend sorrow? Shall I not pretend it is not me who acts thus? No. I do it. I have done it before, and I will do it again. And I will always keep my hope that we may make a world in which all men can die in bed. I have great hate for the violent. They are the sick of the world. Maybe I am sick now, too.
No, no, Kurt, you aren't sick. Don't say that. Kurt, it's late. You must be going soon.
2 days, David. That's all I need to get away. 2 days.
You'll have your 2 days. We'll cover it somehow.
Papa, something is wrong.
You are going away again, Papa?
Yes, but oh, but this time I will leave you with good people, to whom I believe you also will be good. Come, sit close to me here.
Yes, Papa.
Now, would you allow me to give away my share in you until I come back?
If you would like it.
Good. Then to your mother, her share. My share to Fanny and David. It is all, and it is the most I have to give.
There, I've made a will, huh? But now we will not joke. I have something to say to you, and it is important to me to say.
You are talking to us as if we were children.
Am I, Joshua? I wish you were children. I wish I could say to you, love your mother, do not eat too many sweets, clean your teeth. I cannot say these things. You are not children. I took your childhood away from you.
You've had a most enjoyable life,
oh,
Papa.
Oh, Babette, you are a gallant little liar, and I thank you for it. I have done something bad tonight.
You could not do a bad thing.
Papa, you could not.
Now, let us get straight together, the four of us. Do you remember when we read Les Miserables? Do you remember that we talked about it afterwards and Bodo got candy on Mama's bed?
I remember.
Well, the men in the book stole bread. The world is out of shape, we said, when there are hungry men. And until it gets in shape, men will always steal and lie and kill. But for whatever reason it's done and whoever does it, you understand me, it is all bad. I want you to remember that. Whoever does it, it is bad.
Yes, Papa.
But you will live to see the day when it will not have to be. All over the world, in every place, every town, there are men who are going to make sure it will not have to be. They want what I want, a childhood for every child. For my children and I for theirs. Think of that. It will make you happy. In every town, every village, every mud hut in the world, there is always a man who loves children and who will fight to make a good world for them.
Court, you must hurry.
I'm coming, sir. And now, gute Nacht, Liebling, Babette.
Good night, Papa. Do it well. Mach's gut.
Good night, baby.
Good night, Papa. Mach's gut.
Good night, Joshua, my son.
Good night, Papa. Mach's gut.
Kurt. Kurt, my darling.
Remember, sir. Men who wish to live have the best chance to live. I wish to live. I wish to live with you.
For 17 years, it is as much for me today. Come back for me, Kurt.
I will try. I will come back. Goodbye.
All the rest of my life. All the rest of my life.
Thank you, Betty Davis, Paul Lucas, Lucille Watson, George Kalouris, and Donald Woods for your inspirational performances in Watch on the Rhine. Incidentally, you'll be interested to know that this is the second consecutive week that we have presented the distinguished work of Lillian Hellman, who wrote both North Star and Watch on the Rhine. And now the Red Book Magazine Award for 1943. It is an annual custom for Red Book Magazine to award the Red Book Cup to what it deems to be the outstanding motion picture of the year. It is Lady Esther's annual custom to invite the winners of last year's award to appear here in person and make the presentations on behalf of Red Book. And so, it is my pleasure to welcome Miss Greer Garson and Mr. Walter Pidgeon.
Thank you. I believe that Red Book's editor, Mr. Edwin Barner, and his motion picture editor and critic, Mr. Thornton Delahanty, have made another significant choice this year. For Mr. Pidgeon and myself, it has a very personal meaning. Last year, the choice was Mrs. Miniver, in which we had been privileged to appear. This year, it is Watch on the Rhine. Both of them, stories of essentially gentle people. People who did not choose to fight, but who accepted the fight when it was thrust upon them. Gentle people with ideals. The strongest people in the world. Walter, wouldn't you agree to that?
Absolutely, Greer. And it's brought an interesting thought to my mind.
Right down from the dawn age of theatrical history, our profession has been in the forefront of those who marched for liberty. And it's gratifying to know that today, too, we're guarding that tradition very jealously. Miss Davis and Mr. Lucas, Betty and Paul, it's a great privilege for Greer and myself to hand you this cup, which represents the Red Book Award for 1943.
Thank you. Thank you, Walter and Greer. And I need hardly say that it is a great privilege to accept this cup. Because, you see, we accept it for everyone who had anything to do with making the picture.
Yes, there are many people who deserve credit. Jack Warner and Hal Wallace, who produced it. Lillian Hellman, who wrote the play. Dashiell Hammett, who prepared it for the screen. Herman Shumlin, who directed it. And all those many whose names do not appear on the screen, the technicians and the workers who contributed so much.
Yes, Betty, we accept this cup for all those nameless ones, too, whose lives were written into that story that we told. The good, the decent people everywhere, who will not yield, who struggle on against all odds, who fight the good fight for us, for our children, for the fine new day that is to be.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present I Love You Again, starring Charles Wininger, William Powell, and Paulette Goddard. Be sure to listen. To try Lady Esther four-purpose face cream, just get the smallest size jar. Later, you can get the economical large jar and keep refilling the small one for convenience. Thank you and good night. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.